Hi, everybody. My name's Isabel.
Hi, Isabel.
I'm a compulsive overeater. I have done this work, as it's laid out in the big book, with the help of God and my big book, Step Study Sponsor. Made all the money I can make to this point. And with God's help, I live in 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis, which is really the favorite part of me, of mine, of the Big Book Step Study process, is this idea that we've done the process, but now we're going to live in something that will keep us sane and on the right path. In fact, my sponsor had me reading 83 or 84 to 88 right from the beginning, even when I was preparing to write and doing the other parts of the process. And I think that's so important to do that, because it really does let you know that whether you believe it or not, or believe it, it's even possible or not, that you could live in 10, 11, and 12. It gives you an idea that that might be possible when you're just starting this process. So right at the beginning of our reading today, it said, notice the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. And the, you know, common thing that we hear about this part of the work is it was an evil and corroding thread, which for me is certainly true. I found it everywhere in my life. And this part kind of gets to the heart of doing the Big Book Step Study process as well. So even when you look at these things and you want to blame other people for the mess that your life is in, it says, but did not we ourselves set the ball rolling? And so when I think about that, I think about, well, fear, how did I act when I was in fear? Well, probably just like if you backed up a little rat right there in that corner. You know, they're not a ferocious animal, but if you back them up in a corner and they're really, really fearful for their life, they'll come right at you. I'm pretty sure of that. Even a rabbit, a sweet little rabbit, might do that. But what I decided to do was to go back a couple of pages, because we're on fear, and use the example that we have on page 65 and find the fears in that, because when you do your fear inventory, it asks you to go back and look at those things that you bracketed self-esteem and start really there to make a list of your fears. So I was trying to imagine Mr. Brown's fears. And the first one, his attention to my wife. What kind of fears might he had? Afraid that he's a better man than I am. That she might leave me. That then Mr. Brown would have everything. My wife, my job, everything. Then Mrs. Jones, she's a nut. She snubbed me. She committed her husband for drinking. He's my friend. She's a gossip. And you know, the thing that she did the worst was up here. She told my wife about my mistress. And that didn't go very well at my house. And so, of course, Mr. Brown was fearful of all those same things again. But the fears about related to the mistress was, my wife will ask for a divorce, and then she'll get everything. Everyone will know who I am, who and what I really am, and that she already knows, she just needed confirmation. Brown may get my job at the office. Why? Maybe my fear is he's a better worker, a better man. My incompetence will be revealed. Public humiliation. That's a very fearful thing for me or anybody. And that I might not be able to get another job that will pay this well. Now, where's Mrs. Jones? You know, she had all that long list of stuff that he felt like she had done somehow to him. But what he's really, I think, afraid of, just this is what I would be afraid of, afraid that she knows who I really am, and that's why she snubs me. She lived with a man like me, and she put him away. She's afraid he'll tell everyone about me, just like she told everyone about her husband. And my employer. unreasonable, unjust, overbearing, threatens to fire me for drinking and padding my expense account. So the fears there might be afraid they'll ask me to actually do what they hired me for, and I can't do it. They knew who I really am, and my lies and stealing will come out in detail. They'll fire me, and I'll lose everything. So his fears around his wife might be, she sees all my faults and failings and calls me on them, keeps insisting on me doing what I'm supposed to do for her and the children, afraid she's wise to all my shenanigans and will get everything. So there, his, in particular, he was concerned she was wanting to put the house in her name. So for me, that was kind of an interesting exercise, because when they wrote this, I think they were just looking for a generic example of how an alcoholic's life declines into ruin and all the different parts of their life that it affects, and relationships and whatnot. And so when we read these instructions about how to actually do our fear inventory, it kind of starts there, like every other part of Big Book Step Study, with this list. That we make this list, and we are going to put it on paper, and we're going to review our fears thoroughly. And an interesting part is, even though we had no resentment in connection with them, so that means we're going to have to go outside of our writing, because so far that's what we've written is about our resentments, we're going to have to go outside to find some other fears possibly. And I think that's where sometimes people end up talking about fear of flying and heights and spiders and snakes and other, you know, types of fears. But that we would really put our mind on what God is telling us our fears are, just like we did when we were writing our resentments, and we just let it flow and didn't worry about, well, what does this really mean? If God told you this is a fear, then after you've looked at all your writing and looked for the concrete things, then just let God show you exactly what your fears are all about. And for me, the fear part of the writing was the most life-changing, I think, for me. I always knew I was a fearful person. That wasn't a question at all. But I didn't know how much of my fears was driving how I reacted to life and to other people. And I would say one of the biggest places it came out at was at work. And that's why I guess I related to our poor fellow here had all these problems with Mr. Brown and his employer, because that was really where I began to see so much of what was wrong in my life. And, you know, again, we've come quite a ways into our writing by this time, but there's one little sentence in here: we trust infinite God rather than our finite selves. So by this time, you've seen just how finite you are. Just exactly what you have control over, just exactly what you can possibly do on your own. And it's not much. We're in the world to play the role that he assigns, and just to the extent that we do as we think he would have us do and humbly rely on him, does he enable us to match calamity with serenity. So, you know, my life was not in calamity when I came to Big Book Step Study. My life was in calamity when I came to OA, that is for sure. But by the time I'd been in OA for a long, long time, I didn't have so much calamity in my life, but I still had all these fears. And I have to be honest with you, in reviewing my fear notebook to prepare for speaking today, I realized that I still have a lot of them. They're disguised a little bit, or they're milder, or maybe they come out a little bit sideways, but there's still a lot of those fears there. So I know that God is, I'm a work in process, and God's working on me about that, because it is so very paralyzing to live in fear and to be fearful all the time. And then it has the next paragraph talking about your relationship with God, about how you have to come to the point where you will not apologize that you depend on your Creator. And that's a big step for a lot of people. And I don't think you necessarily you know, announce it to everybody. But I think when the conversation is appropriate to what do you believe in, I think a lot of people would be fearful, since we're talking about fear, of actually naming the fact that they have come to rely on a power greater than themselves. And what that, and part of the reason that I felt bad about that whole thing was because I'd always made fun of people who believed in God my whole life. I just thought they're idiots, they believe a fairy tale, the whole thing is just stupid. And so because I had been so hard on people, when I came to that kind of faith in my life, I knew that there was going to be people who thought the same thing about me. And then here's a really important part. I didn't get this in my writing. I wish I had. But if as you're writing your fears, if every time you wrote your fear, you would then write this last prayer that says that you ask God to remove that fear, name that fear specifically because you're writing it already, and direct our attention to what He would have us be. And I used to just love to read that sentence because it didn't say do. It said be, and I love that. But if I had written all my fears and then written that prayer, I think I would have gotten a great deal out of it. And so most of the people that I've worked with lately are doing it that way, and I think it's very helpful. And it's also, as the hearer of that, very beautiful to hear somebody articulate that specific fear as they close it off with that prayer. So I brought my notebook to read some to you, which is why I was looking at all this stuff. And this one is, I am afraid of making mistakes. Somehow I think this must go way back to potty training. Imagining the pressure of an overworked mother with seven kids and all the work that that represents. Being ashamed of wet pants and trying to hide them, wet sheets, and the embarrassment because I slept with two or three other siblings. That was really a problem. Feeling like I was the stupidest, ugliest, most difficult child that ever lived. That I was a mistake, not just making mistakes. This has led to a lifetime of trying to hide and deny any mistake I ever made. No matter how small or how large, my reaction is immediately to hide it. Fix it before anyone finds out. Never admit it. Pretend it never happened. How has self-reliance failed me? It has not allowed me to relax and be myself. It has made me try to give the impression that I'm perfect and don't make mistakes. It makes me want to be someone else that doesn't make mistakes, and if they do, is willing to admit it and doesn't fall apart. It makes me envious of those whose mental health is such that they don't hesitate for a second when they've made a mistake. They quickly apologize, seek the correct action, and drop it. What would I do if I trust and relied on God? I would wake each day knowing that I will probably make at least one error today, and when I do, I want to quickly say I'm sorry and let it go. I would realize that God and those who really love me already know that I'm not perfect, and they would appreciate a quick apology and an effort to learn from my mistake. And, you guys already know this about me, but here it is in writing. I'm afraid of road rage, mine and others. It's a crazy world we live in, and I'm aware of the cases of road rage that end up in the news. I first became aware of my temper and obsession to set people straight when they're rude in traffic maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I may have been doing it much longer than that, but when I would be the passenger with my husband and spout some of my thoughts about what just happened in traffic, he was startled by the anger and tone of my voice. I realized it had just become a habit while I was driving by myself, and I hadn't considered it unhealthy or wrong. It's the obsessive quality that scares me the most, that once the incident happens, I want them to get pulled over, get in an accident, punishment. I want to gloat over their predicament caused by their rudeness. I want them to suffer the consequences of their driving. How has self-reliance failed me? What about my own selfish driving? What makes me think my rudeness or mistakes in traffic should be okay and overlooked? I need God to help me to be sane in my car. If someone wrongs me, let it go. Forget about it. even pray for them instead of wishing to see them get what they deserve. I sure don't want what I deserve. What would I do if I trusted and relied upon God? I would ask him to mind my own business in my own car and be sane, legal, kind, forgiving, calm myself. Ask for forgiveness when I fail to do this and keep praying for sanity and godly behavior in my driving. I'm afraid to be late to anything, and I was almost late today. I would say this started at school, having to go to the principal's office if you were late and get a pass to enter your class. At work, it would be noted by a late punch in or just that I wasn't where I was supposed to be at starting time, and I would create a problem for someone else. Every school year, the night before school started, I would dream that I was late on the first day of school. It was a nightmare for me, almost as bad as showing up naked. I'm very judgmental of people who are always late everywhere they go. I think it's very inconsiderate, and I hate to be the one who's waiting for them. How has self-reliance failed me? Sometimes it's just unavoidable, but I'm so hard on myself if I'm late. It's more like I'm irresponsible, careless, selfish, and inconsiderate, not just late. I have put far too much value on being on time because I'm so judgmental of others. What would I do if I trusted and relied on God? I would think if anyone is late, including myself, that they did their best to be on time and something happened beyond their control. It doesn't mean they're a bad person or that long list of stuff I wrote. I would think that maybe that's the way God wants it to be for whatever reason, because I can't control everything, traffic, railroads, weather, accidents, etc. Just to relax and do my best is all I can do or all anyone can do sometimes. I'm afraid of technology being left behind. When computers became a part of my work life, I was terrified because I felt so inadequate to learn and to be comfortable with them. Now it's far more than that. I shun texting, phones that do everything, gadgets that become obsolete so quickly that you can't give them away. If my computer is running slowly or seems to be in trouble, I'm fearful. What's wrong? Who will fix it? How much will it cost? How will I get my emails while it's down? Blah, 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 blah. Too scary, too much, could go wrong, too much responsibility. How has self-reliance failed me? I have spent hours on the phone with my wireless carrier when our email acted up. It was agony. I don't want to appear stupid, admit what I don't know, have to keep asking questions. It makes me want to opt out instead of learn more, try something new, make mistakes. What would I do if I trusted and relied upon God? I would let him know how frightened I am and ask him to take away my fears and be willing to learn and change with the times. Be willing to ask for help. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Isabel, very much. Okay, let's put this on. How do I turn this thing on?
All good.
It's technology. If you're new to this meeting, please listen carefully. This type of meeting is highly structured. In order to speak at this meeting, you must have completed a fourth step as it is laid out in the Big Book with the help of a Big Book step study sponsor and currently repracticing steps 9, 10, 11, and 12. If you haven't done the steps, please